This week on Two Bears, One Cave.
Do I look drunk right now? Change after 20, Rick. Here we go.
This is your place, woman. Make me couscous. Or whatever.
Because someone's going to do like just...
Ah, fuck! It was the chair.
Scared.
It
was the
scared the shit out of me. I was in the chair.
Sincerely, let me kill this so I get rid of these fucking tears.
100%. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Saatva, SAATVA.com/the shit. Use that URL and you will get $200 off any mattress of your choice. Why Saatva? Because when you go to a store and you look at their top of the line mattresses, they charge you 10 times the price because they're covering their rent, their commissions for their salespeople, their drug habits. They're doing bad, awful things, and they're not good people at the other mattress companies. Saatva, on the other hand, wonderful people. And they pass on all their savings by not having so many storefronts and not having to pay commissions. They pass those savings on to you. Get a luxury firm mattress, get a Lumen Leaf mattress, get a Solaire mattress. They're all great. You can't go wrong. You get a high-quality mattress that's environmentally friendly and award-winning customer support, all by going to Saatva, SAATVA.com/the shit, and get $200 off any mattress of your choice.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the show.
I'm Bebas, please.
So, what
an aggressive fucking language.
It's super aggressive.
Really, right?
Yeah.
Like, I bet, what do you think? You think what's more aggressive to hear? It, just as like a...
Arabic?
And no. Me and you are natives.
on the soil.
Okay.
On our native soil, we are in loincloths. Our beautiful wives are behind us. Our skins are olive brown.
Wait, describe our wives in this scenario.
Oh, Bahoro.
They're not the ones we have, right?
Now, don't worry. I wasn't giving us those ones.
All right.
Your wife has black locks of hair that look like they've had a conditioner in them, but it's just the way the salt dries in her hair. She's beautiful. Very small nose, big lips, bright green eyes.
Whoa.
Her tits are perfect, not too big,
big,
but just
ass.
Perfect. And she's got a big ass. My wife's my height. She's as tall as me. Her hair is jet black, straight, and it's hanging, covering her breasts, and they're a little bigger than they should be. Mm. And later in life, they'll get hanging low, but right now, they're perfect.
They don't speak English?
We don't either.
Okay, great.
We all speak our thing, and our language is a beautiful tongue. Okay. It's like this. That's how we talk, right?
Okay, yeah.
Now we see a boat full of different people coming at us.
Yeah.
Let's rank the scariest languages to hear coming at us, okay?
Okay.
Because if it's a boat full of Germans, it's like, Unter nein, Sandra, Svali, Svali, Shalan.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Japanese people.
Senaka.
Yeah, okay. Or well, the most popular one was either white or Spanish. So give me some aggressive Spanish.
Those are yoroshiku. Tom des.
That's nice to meet you. My name's Tom.
In what?
Japanese.
Oh, okay.
Those are yoroshiku.
Are we supposed to speak the real language? I'm making them up.
Well, yeah, I knew that.
Okay.
I wasn't like, oh, Bert just fucking spit out some top tier German. Okay. So I was sharing the fucking one of the six things I can say in Japanese.
Sushi.
No, but yeah, that is
okay. That's it.
Yeah,
okay.
Isn't it crazy too that that's how they say it?
Yeah,
you can actually go to Japan and go sushi, and they'll be like, "I know what he wants."
Samura.
Yeah.
And then English and Spanish were two of the most popular ones.
Yeah, but for aggressive, because like Spanish, and
that's English, what I'm saying though.
The Spanish,
that's why the Spaniards were allowed to run amok.
Mira estos maricones, el gordo por ahí, el otro que se medio gordo también, no tienen pelo, los vamos a matar, vamos a cortar sus estómagos a ver que si es lleno de pingas porque obviamente son rosquetes.
Okay, so they're saying all that.
Okay. All right, and then I'll do...
That was very homophobic. I just want to apologize.
Okay.
And then... it was just an example of like a conquistador showing up.
Okay, I'll do James Cook. Okay?
Yeah.
So, all right, boys. Looks like we could take these two and fuck the women. Nice. I'll take the one on the left. You take the one on the right. No one with chlamydia gets off the boat. Okay? And so those are the voices you hear.
And then you have to do...
No, the Jews didn't conquer anybody.
That was not Hebrew.
What was that? Oh, Muslim.
Well, Arabic.
Arabic, yeah. But I don't think they conquered anyone either. They were
Arabs?
Like, yeah, they were really docile.
No.
No, as a matter of fact, check it out, Google it. The Muslims and Arabs got conquered by the Portuguese.
No, but the
Portuguese...
The Arabs went into Spain, and they actually completely dominated Spain for a couple hundred years.
But that was by foot.
What?
Into Central Asia and Africa, invading the countries they passed. The
Yeah, well, how about Arabs conquering Spain? Because that is...
Okay. I'll take Arabs. In 7 years, they conquered them.
The Iberian Peninsula. That's that entire region. Yeah, but look when fucking...
Oh, 7-11. Wow.
Yeah, and when did the Muslim rule decline?
Oh, wow. They did it for a while.
Fucking...
Oh, they've been doing this for a long time,
700 years. Yeah.
I thought, man, I want to apologize to all the Muslims. I thought you guys were the victims. I swear to God. I thought, I'm being dead serious right now. I thought Muslims was a docile group of people that lived on the coast of Africa, and they were chill as fuck, and they saw boats, and they were like, hey,
have you talked to a fucking jaybird about that in a while?
Those, we're getting into creepy territory. Time for... How do you do this?
I don't know. Are you thinking it's going to, like a button?
It's a bell.
Oh, I thought you were just like waiting for it to go.
Jews for 100.
Okay.
How much booze is in this, Ryan? It's a bell, right? Jews for 100. I'll take Muslims for 20, Rick. Okay, which group of people?
Wait, which would you be the most terrified to hear of those?
Germans.
That
Germans or Japanese are my two scariest. Like the way the language comes out when they're angry or panicking.
It's super aggressive.
Super aggressive.
Also, there's something about, not like we understand any of the other languages, but something about being like, you have really no, like it's so aggressive and you have no fucking idea.
No fucking idea. And it happens. So everything's happening quick around you. And then we say to our wives, and that means get to the trees. Tell the others, white men come. And they bring pesticides.
Yeah, pesticides.
Not pesticides, you know what I mean.
Yeah. We're not going to be able to grow
crops.
I'll
take smallpox for 100.
Yeah. Viruses.
Hey, guys, the Two Bears, One Cave, Bert Kreischer here. We're going to have a drink. And for all you internet sleuths who think Joe Rogan's talking about me in that fucking clip, no, it's not me, you motherfuckers. He's got a clip out there that he's like, I drank with a friend and it got sad. And I just was like, I couldn't even look at him the same way. And everyone's in the comments is like, it's Bert.
Yeah.
Do you think Joe Rogan has ever bit his tongue to talk about my lifestyle and mention my name? Do you think Joe Rogan has ever been like, I have a friend who's fat as fucking shit and says he can do everything? I'm not going to tell you what his name is. It's not me. And for the record, I know that because Joe called me.
Wait, you are the guy in the second scenario.
In the second scenario, yeah.
Okay. But in the one.
In the first scenario, the day it happened, he called me personally and was like, hey, man, we need to have a talk. And he talked about that person
because
we're both friends with that person. And so it bummed me out because I started getting it sent to me. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm worried about him too. And then they're like, I'm like, wait, it's not me. Like, I'm fucking. Do I look drunk right now? Change that for 20, Rick. Here we go.
All right.
Let's have a little tequila.
Tequila's nice.
It does ring.
Yeah, it does. You got that right.
I guess we'll have a little tequila. Oh, the littlest amount of tequila there is.
Oh.
Guess we're not drinking today.
This one has more?
Has less. And this one's.
No, this one has more.
Yeah, but that's not enough for the thing.
What's the thing?
What are we going to have a fucking...
Well, why don't you kill that real quick?
It's Tom?
Yeah.
It's killed.
Okay, but have a sip.
No, because here's the deal. I don't want to put the head of my dick in and not fuck, okay? We either fuck or we fuck. And if I just get the head of my dick wet, and then you're like, you know what? I have a boyfriend, and I shouldn't be doing this without a condom, and we don't have a condom, and you're like, oh, okay.
Okay, well, guess what? I'm going to come anyway.
Can someone please find something to drink in this fucking dry, dude, goddamn Christian fucking county?
That's plenty for you. What do you think?
Load me up. Ooh, that was fucking really good. What's the sugar
We're
level
killing
that?
This, Ryan. There. Come on. That's a fucking drink.
Whatever. Yeah, that was crazy. It's crazy when internet sleuths think they've done the math.
Yeah.
I know who he's talking about.
Oh, that's, you know what the funniest one? I have to say this. Just when, and I'm not going to say what it is, but when I had Huberman on.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Huberman, I meant to talk about him last night. Keep going.
No, he's so great. And
oh, that's not what I'm going to say.
Okay, well, we cut out a joke, and I got so many people be like, I know what the joke is. And I'm like, really? And can I tell you that not one person has even come into the fucking stratosphere of what the joke was? And then I see people go like, oh, that's like, I saw comments or like, yep, that's definitely what I'm like. Oh, but they just assume that they know. And I'm like, oh, thankfully nobody actually knows.
I've done that. I've done that too.
Yeah.
Where you I listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
But my lucky thing is I know all of them. So I'll be like, hit them up. Who the fuck are you talking about? And they're like, oh, it's not who. It's never who you think. It's always.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's never who you think.
We used to. So on my podcast, anytime I said the name Neil Brennan, I bleeped out his name. I just bleeped out his name.
Why?
Just for fun.
Oh.
Just for fucking shits and giggles. To make me giggle.
Yeah.
So I just bleep out his name. Anytime I say Neil Brennan. And we have one episode where Cypha Sound said the N-word. But he can because he's fucking in hip-hop. He's part of the culture. And he said the N-word, but like in the way, like he would, casually.
Good to know.
And okay. So... No, but you can say it if you're Puerto Rican and Dominican, and there's certain rules, I guess. I don't know. I don't say it. And so he says it, and I said, bleep it out. And then Big J goes, oh, did he say Neil Brennan? And then they bleep that out. And then there was an overlap of people didn't know when we were saying they thought we were saying the N-word when we were just using Neil Brennan's name as the N-word.
And we already established that you say the N-word when there's nobody around.
No, that's not the fucking truth. When there's nobody around, yes. When there's nobody around. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like in my car if I'm singing.
In the shower.
And not in the shower. Oh.
I love it when I'm cleaning up.
In the shower?
Up,
you know? Wait, yeah. How would I use it in the shower?
Just, you know, today's going to be a great day. There's not going to be...
but there was an overlap where they started saying Neil Brennan's name... Instead, where it would be confusing of whether or not they were saying the N-word, but it was all bleeped out. It was very funny. But I had to go to Neil Brennan and be like, yo, just so you know, we're saying your name throughout this episode. Uh-huh. And so I lost my little fun game where I got to say, I've been saying Neil Brennan's name, bleeping it out for 9 years now.
Are you being serious?
Yeah. It's like a
What did he think? He must have thought it was fun.
He never knew it was him because he never heard
of course,
it. No, of
course. But he liked it?
He laughs hysterically. He was like, shut up. But it was so, Big J was so good at it. He's such a good improver.
Yeah.
Big J looks fucking good.
He is, but that's why he's also like the best crowd work guy I've ever seen.
He is so fucking quick.
Yeah.
Isla.
What?
Nothing. Isla's in love with Big J.
Really?
She's in love with Big J. I'm going to tell this story. Hopefully Big J is cool with it. So Isla is in love with Big J. And she says, does he have a girlfriend? And I said, yeah, he does. Christine, she's awesome. Yeah. And she goes, cool. She looks at me real serious. She goes, does he cheat? And I go, no. And then Leanne says very casually, wait, I think he's in an open relationship. I go, I don't know that. I go, they may be. I don't know that. And Isla goes, what's an open relationship? And I go, that's when... they know you can hook up with other people, and so they let you hook up with whoever you want. But usually it's together, like when you're a team. But I don't know. It's really confusing. Mom and I aren't in an open relationship. And I go, and I can't say that for Big J, so I don't know. But, yeah, he's got a girlfriend, Christine. Isla loves Big J. So Big J calls me the other day. He's like, what's up? I said, nothing. And I said, just so you know, Isla was just – she was just talking about him because Slipknot was coming on – Corey Taylor was coming on my podcast, and Isla got hooked up with Corey through Big J. She was so excited, and she goes, let me talk to him. So I grab the phone. I give her time, and Isla goes, what's up, Mr. Open Relationship? And Christine is with him, and she goes, how many people did you fuck on the road? And Jay goes, nobody, nobody, nobody. I grab the phone. I go, I'm so sorry, Jay. I'm so sorry. Isla goes, was I not supposed to say that? And I go, no, that was mom guessing he was in an open relationship because he's on Legion of Skanks and she thinks all of them are fucking dogs.
Oh.
Yeah.
And also the cute thing about that is that she's saying that to, in a way, to be like, right? Like, yeah, maybe me one day. Like,
no, 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 no. Yeah. She does.
She's flirting.
She dresses.
That was flirting.
I don't know. Huh? Yes. So not with Isla.
Come on.
This is not that kid. This is not that kid. But she does dress identically to Big J. Yeah. Thank you, motherfucker.
What is that?
This is vodka. This, oh, here's the problem with vodkas these days.
What's that?
I don't know. Like, I don't like.
I like.
I'm not.
Fucking...
I'm not shitting on this vodka, and I'm sorry if I if you. That's a not a cool thing for me to do. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This is a cool vodka. That's not cool. I like all vodkas. I like all booze, but like certain bottles welcome me. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm fucking breaking that now, but like I don't know. I don't know. The Jewel of Russia Ultra. It's a great vodka. We'll try it out. Yeah. I don't know. I shouldn't say.
What's
shit.
The other one? Casa. No.
Casa Donkeys. Okay, this name is too long. You're one of the people. What does okay. that say? How would you yell that to the top of Machu Picchu?
Yeah, I don't know. Zolis Quintet. What?
Is it racist if I tell the race I'm talking to what I don't like about their race?
No.
Okay, here's what I hate about Peruvians.
Okay.
Do you know you guys lost Machu Picchu twice?
Is your beer fridge feeling a little empty? DoorDash is your door to beer without the run. Whatever drink you're in the mood for, they've got you. Order your alcohol with DoorDash today and drink in the savings. Use code BEARS24 to get 25% off, up to $15 value on a $35 minimum subtotal on your next alcohol order for eligible users only. I mean, there's like sometimes you just don't want to leave. That's me. Once we're at a spot and we're hanging out, I just don't want to leave. And now you don't have to. The alcohol selection on DoorDash is top shelf. Beer, wine, mixers, mocktails, and more can be delivered straight to your door. Save up to 25%, up to $15 value when you spend $35 or more with code BEARS24. So whether you're grabbing drinks for an event or staying in for the night, DoorDash is here to help you have a great evening any evening. Terms apply. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Delivery and promotions available only in select markets. Buying someone jewelry is usually a great experience all around. They get a beautiful gift, and you get the unforgettable moment of seeing the look on their face when they open it. The only tricky part, figuring out how to get the perfect piece at the best price. This is what I recommend for any jewelry purchase. Source it from BlueNile.com. Blue Nile offers thousands of independently graded diamonds and fine jewelry at prices significantly below traditional retail. They also offer a peace of mind with every purchase with some of the highest quality standards in the industry. They're available 24/7 by phone or chat to answer technical questions and give recommendations for every budget. The thing about buying jewelry is you really don't know what you're getting into. You don't know what you're looking at often. And the great thing about working with Blue Nile is you have somebody who is a true expert that can help guide you along the way so you don't feel lost, so you know what these diamond grades are, you know you're getting real value. You can feel great about your purchase because Blue Nile also offers a diamond price match guarantee. And just in case you don't, they offer 30-day returns. Shop Blue Nile today and experience the ease and convenience of the original online jeweler. Go to BlueNile.com today. That's BlueNile.com.
Twice?
Like, possibly three times. You know you lost Machu Picchu, right?
I know about how...
Because you guys didn't do the fucking gardening, you lost Machu Picchu.
I don't know that that's the correct...
It's true. It's true.
I know when...
It's true.
When Pizarro came...
The fucking white guy.
The Spaniard, yeah.
Yeah, he finally... Like, here's the problem with Machu Picchu.
That was wild because they killed, like, 80,000... Incas with like 80 people.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, you know what's cool about Machu Picchu? So like when the Spaniards first tried to fucking kill the Incas or whatever, all the Incas ran up to Machu Picchu and hit and got up there. And it was, the altitude was so high, the Spaniards couldn't acclimate.
Yeah.
So they were just like, fuck, what do we do? And so they just left him alone. Mm-hmm. Here's what's crazy. That whole colony dies. The whole group of people die up in Machu Picchu. And then shrubs grow over the steps they made to get to Machu Picchu. Shrubs grow over. One day, farmer, probably like, I'm going to guess 1920, maybe not 1920. Mm. One day, a farmer is doing his yard work, right, cleaning up his hedges, and he sees a set of steps, right? And he's like, what the fuck are these?
What year are we talking about?
What year was Machu Picchu discovered? It was recently. It was like, I'm going to say 1890.
1890.
Yeah, it was recently.
Founded 1450.
That sounds okay. I'll take it.
Wait, so, when did Pizarro arrive? That had to have been the 1500s, right? Francisco Pizarro lands or goes there? Or the, you know, the Spaniards, the fucking.
Anyway, let me finish my story.
When did the Spics get there?
So here's the story.
Jesus Christ.
So he's cleaning up bushes and he finds a set of steps, right?
But you're talking about, this is well after the conquest or no?
Oh, well, this is well after. Oh,
okay.
This is when they rediscovered Machu Picchu.
That an English guy that did that?
It was an English guy that did it, but a Peruvian dude is cleaning up the bushes. That's not what I'm talking about. They lose Machu Picchu. Machu Picchu disappears. No one finds it, knows anything about it.
Okay.
And then one day, Peruvian dude's doing his yard work, and he finds a set of steps on his land.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts walking up them, and he's like, fuck. It takes him to Machu Picchu. And he's like, fuck, that's crazy. Goes back down and doesn't tell anyone about it.
Really?
Just goes, that's crazy. It's in my backyard. Wow, that's wild, right? Maybe tells like 10 people at a bar. And he's like, oy, you're never going to believe what I found, though. And so then white dude shows up and is like, hey, what's cool about this place? And they're in that same bar. And the guy's like, hey, I ever tell you about those steps? Everyone's like, what steps? He's like, the steps to Machu Picchu. And they're like, huh? Then the white dude climbs up it. By the way, I don't even think he goes up to the top. He just goes up halfway. He's like, this is cool as fuck, right? Yeah. Just goes to see the walls. He's like, wow, walls, that's crazy. I'm going to do a couple drawings, go home and tell everyone about it. Then it gets lost again. Then they come back. One guy climbs to the top and is like, what the fuck is this?
It is a what the fuck experience.
I've never been. I want to go so bad. Now that I've said all this about Peruvians, I'll go in with disguise, but I want to go so bad.
Yeah, I've been three times, and it's really fucking, every time you're like.
What's the altitude?
I don't remember. I know that when you get to Cusco, which is like where you take a train from there to the bottom of Machu Picchu and you go up, that's also, there's a day, there's like, they always recommend a day at least of acclimation. It's 8,000 feet.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's like, it's like Red Rocks, October 4th.
Cusco is at over 10,000 feet. So that's what you do is you get to Cusco and you get like headaches.
Cusco, that's like the day after my show at Red Rocks, I'll be in Vail at 10,000 feet.
Is that 10,000 feet?
Yeah, Vail's at 10,000.
Is it really?
I'm doing Vail with Sipe Sounds.
Yeah, really?
We're doing it together, yeah. I was going to bring Big J and Dan Soder because they're doing Red Rocks with me, but I don't know. I thought it was cool. Me and Cypher's a great fucking hang.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I didn't even tell you about fucking, okay, put a pin in it. No. Let's finish this and then remind me to tell you about Jazz Fest.
Okay.
I want to tell you about Jazz Fest so bad.
Okay. So the
old were you the first time you went to Machu Picchu? I'm fascinated by Machu Picchu. They lost it three fucking times.
First time I went, I was probably like 14. Oh. And I was like, I mean, it is jaw dropping. There's a fucking, that's up in the mountains, man. It's like a city up in the mountains. And it's more elaborate than you can put in this photo. And you really do go like, your whole thing is, how did something like this get built up here?
This tastes so, there's sugar in this.
It's good?
This is a...
Tequila?
Tequila, I don't know. It's really good.
I thought there was no sugar in tequila.
It tastes sweet. It tastes really good.
It is epic, dude. And then on a clear, sunny day, you start picturing that there were people. There's this whole city operated. Like, there was, people had jobs, things to do, and you know.
How'd they get water?
There's a whole thing of also, like, how do you get stone? It's not like they just go, here's a rock. It's stones that fit perfectly. You can see the seam on top of this next one. And it's not like a 100-pound rock. It's a fucking 20,000-pound stone.
There was no chance that there were rivers up that high? And that all of a sudden, like, the rivers descended?
I don't think so, dude. I don't think so.
Something like that blows my mind. All right, here's what I'm going to do. You ready for this?
Yeah.
what do I want to see in this world? I want to see Machu Picchu. What do you want to see? Someone said to me the other day, Andrew Schultz is playing Dubai or Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
And someone was like, Derek Poston was like, do you want to play Abu Dhabi? And I was like, it doesn't appeal to me. And maybe it's, I'm not saying I wouldn't do it, yeah, but it's not like on my bucket list, especially of where to perform. I'm not certain I'd appeal to them.
Yeah, you don't think so?
I think it would be like Larry the Cable Guy doing a TED Talk.
You think so?
I think everyone would be like, no offense, no shade on Larry, Dan, but
yeah,
but you know. But like, I think they'd be like, why didn't you just hit your kid? And you're like, I don't know.
Okay.
You let your wife talk to you like that?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they did What About Raymond in Russia. Did you ever hear that?
Oh.
They tried to reboot What About Raymond in Russia.
Everybody loves Raymond.
What About Raymond? Yeah.
No, What About Raymond?
And,
What About Raymond? Wait, what were you thinking? What's the what about?
What about Bob?
What about Bob? Yeah.
And so they tried to do what everyone loves Raymond in Russia, and then and in the writer's room they'd be like, and then Raymond hits his wife, right? And they're like, what? And he goes, why would she talk to him like this? He slaps her. He slaps her and tells her, this is your place, woman. Make me couscous. Or whatever. I didn't mean that. Look, you know I love Russians. I'm all over the bus. I know what the title of this one is. Bert Xenophobic.
Yeah.
So, wait, let's go. So Machu Picchu I want to see. What the fuck are you laughing at?
It's just, I think you should stay in the States. I don't think you're gonna get the call to be an ambassador.
You know, I pitched that as a TV show one time.
You the ambassador?
Yeah, Ambassador Bert, where I go into a small country and I just set up shop and like pitch myself as an ambassador.
Yeah.
And I just fucking introduce America to them.
I didn't know that being an ambassador it's such a lobbying thing that people do.
Oh, dude.
I didn't realize that when someone's especially in the choice places, that becomes a thing where like bigwigs, like people who are super high achievers that have like crazy careers, you know.
A lot of like colonels.
Yeah, but also you see like, you know, former CEOs, executives, people that were like high up in corporations, if their guy becomes president, it's like, it'd be like you and I, you know, like Joe's president, and we're like, you know, that I really feel like me in London with your best interests, like there becomes a thing where you're trying to get the appointed for that. And then get, cause it is.
Well, we kind of got that. Joe became the biggest podcasters in the world. And we all got careers.
Yeah. I mean,
it's kind of crazy. Like we got that ambassadorship. Like,
well, this, I mean,
it happens in every generation. Chelsea did it. Chelsea became the president of comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden Jen Kirkman, Josh,
Joe Coy,
Frangiola, Joe Coy, Heather McDonald, everyone's careers just bumped. Right.
That's like the Tonight Show.
Tonight Show did it. Opie and Anthony was a big one. Did you ever listen to Opie and Anthony?
You know, it was a thing that I think it was just, I don't want to say generational, because I think it was geographic too.
It was geographic, but it was because I didn't know I went to school, but I started with comedy with all those guys.
In New York, yeah.
I could really fucking, I got like every fucking, man, Jim Norton.
I have a whole thing though where I kind of like, I get like freaked out and anxious with like
associations.
No, five people on mic. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, I also don't like comedic scenes like in movies or television where it builds to chaos. In other words, and people like yell and scream at each other, and like that's where the scene builds to. I when people are like, that was hilarious, I'm like, it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
It's like being in a room with people screaming. I want to walk out of this room. That's what I felt like watching scenes like that. It just feels like chaos always is the, like the, what they get to. And I'm like, that just doesn't. And I feel like when on those radio shows, when somebody goes, check this out, this is really funny, and you put it on and you haven't heard it before and you hear five different voices, I'm like, this feels like too much for me.
It was too much at times. I think because I knew whose voice was whose
voice. Yeah, that probably was a thing.
I was like, oh, that's Ben Bailey. Oh, that's Rich Voss. Oh, that's, like, I knew those voices intimately.
I also say that I didn't really get, like, to be fair, it's not like I gave it a fair chance.
Yeah.
I heard it probably one day, and then I just, you know.
Howard, I'll tell you what, I was always a fan of Howard. I know that everyone's shitting on him because he's like woke now. Yeah. I don't really care that he's, I don't listen to, I'm not going to listen to any grown man's politics and then let it affect me at all. Yeah. You can go suck a dick if you think you're going to influence me. I'm fucking 50 years old. I'll make my own fucking decisions. Suck a dick about everything. That's what blows me away is when people are like, I don't like Howard's politics. I don't give a fuck. Does he do a good interview with fucking Dave Grohl?
Yeah.
That's all I care about. Like, I like a cool, and Howard is probably one of the best interviewers there is, in my opinion.
He's a great interviewer.
I'll tell you for real, Joe Rogan is, in my opinion, pound for pound, an amazing interview, like with those people. I think with comics, it's a different show, but when he has like someone like Stamets, the guy with mushrooms, or like fucking Elon Musk or fucking Rick Rubin or any of those interviews, Rogan's fucking legit pound for pound my favorite interview to listen to. Howard, though, is a legend. His interviews were so fucking thoughtful.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fellow the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app
or wherever you get your podcast.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month, when you purchase a 3-month plan, more like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office, and we have been saving so much money since switching over, and setting up on Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
I don't know if he's he still doing like the radio show?
I think so. And I think because I don't listen to anything anymore. Like, oh. I used to get in the car and turn that on, but I do see like everything. I see clips.
Yeah.
And I do like watching him interview.
That was the mistake he made, is that he didn't put his shit on YouTube. God. He should have put his shit on YouTube. I think it would have kept the stock up for.
It's a paywall show though, right? So if they give it away on YouTube.
Opie and Anthony just posted it on YouTube.
They did?
Yeah. By the way, they are responsible for some of the worst interviews I've ever heard in my fucking life, that were some of the most entertaining interviews I've ever heard in my fucking life. When they would fucking bring someone on and just like openly trash them to their face.
To their face?
It's something you would love so much.
Really?
It's so your sense of humor. Jim Norton would be like, they'd be on the phone with someone, and he'd be like, so we're reading your book, and it's really great. And he'd just be ripping up the book on the thing in front of the lady, and I mean, by the way, so cringy, but like you could not stop listening.
Yeah.
They did an interview with fucking Bernard Goetz, the subway shooter, Bernie Goetz. Guy shot fucking three black kids in the back.
On a subway?
On a subway in the 80s.
They interviewed him?
They interviewed him. And then they like pretended to break one of his tapes. And he went
Was he in studio?
Yeah, he was in fucking studio.
Jesus.
This is a guy, and they were, and he was almost telling him where he buried the gun. It was, dude, they would do, but it was like, but in the whole point of the interview was, it was teetering on a great interview, and then they'd do something to set the person off, and then you would hear chaos in the studio. It was like the worst interview that was the greatest listen, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Wait, hold on. Can I give a shout out to these two dudes?
Sure.
Talking about great pods. So
it's crazy. You know what you just did?
What?
You just interrupted yourself.
For real?
Yeah. You usually do it to me or whoever else is in the room, but you just did it to yourself. You're like, hold on a second, man. Hey, I want to give a shout. You were the one talking. You really? Just like stepped on yourself. Like, yeah, give it a second. I want to give a shout out to these. I wasn't talking.
Oh. I don't know. Okay. I'm bad.
Yeah.
And if I drink, I'm even worse.
Didn't you say that because you went to the club that Joe told you that?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Well, it's more complicated than just that. Like, he didn't just go, hey, you have an interrupting problem, which is very, by the way, very Joe.
Yeah.
But we were talking about, I was with your wife, and I was talking about the conversation we had yesterday. And she just came up and we started very casually talking about it.
Yeah.
And she was explaining you, and she was like, you know, no one sees this, but Tommy's a very sensitive person. And I go, I think a lot of times people see his quietness as just like, he has like resting bouncer face, where you're just like, and so she goes, no. And I said, yeah. And so we had a great talk. And I said, you know, it's great because sometimes I don't listen very well. And Joe's off the side listening. And he goes, yeah, you interrupt a lot. And I go, what? And he goes, no, it's fine. But it does become frustrating as your friend. Sometimes you'll just interrupt people and just start talking. I go, I'm working on that. And he goes, oh, it's gotten way better, but you still do it. And I said, yeah. And I go, I do it as a friend. I just do it. I don't even know I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I do that, and here's the other thing I do that I hate that I do, is if you tell me your story about swimming in the ocean,
yeah,
I have to tell you my story.
Yes, you do.
I can't help
you do
it.
I was also going to do part two of that, which I thought you were doing, which you definitely, if I go, I'm swimming in the ocean, you have to tell your story.
I know, I can't
But you
help
also,
it.
I thought, what I thought you were going to say is, if you tell me your story about swimming in the ocean, I have to tell my version about you swimming in the ocean. Because you always, if we're using that as an example,
yes.
if somebody walked in the room and was like, you ever swim in the ocean? You'd be like, Tommy just did. And you would tell the story that I told, but it would have all kinds of.
I did that to your wife last night.
Yeah?
I did that to your wife last night.
I mean.
Greg Garcia said she was doing an impression of Ellis, and she was telling an Ellis story. I go, can I tell my favorite Ellis story? And she goes, what is it? And I said, 2 weeks. She goes, oh, yeah. And I go, hold on, I'll tell it. And then I told her Ellis story to
Greg,
and it murdered. And she could see her in their eyes going, that's not exactly
you
how that
the
happened.
Story, yeah, yeah.
But I can't help it. I love the story aspect. Man, when I hear a story, I wish I could just be a thief and just take other people's bits because you tell stories sometimes that are so fucking good, but you just throw them away and you just leave it. And I see all the meat on the bone and I go, oh, I could fucking punch that up.
Yeah, you just reminded me that that I should tell that story more on
stage. It's my favorite.
Remember the one I told and then you were like, cut that out and tell that on stage?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? When we did the Vegas live thing?
Yes.
That's my closer right now. Like in the new stuff
it's
I'm doing?
It's fucking, yeah. Your Ellis material is, I wish I had a fucking new kid.
Yeah.
Fucking
You can get one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get one that's like around that age.
I hope Georgie gets pregnant soon.
Good.
That'd be great. Raise that baby like it's our own.
Would you take it?
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I'd go, honey. No. You got pregnant. This shit happens. We'll send you up to Aspen. You're going to chill for a while. Get away from the world. Get healthy. We're going to give birth. We're then going to send you back to college where mom and I'll take this baby.
You got
to
live happened. Life.
It never happened.
You got to enjoy
it. You don't have a baby. We have that baby.
Yeah.
And then you go ahead, live your life. You don't have a baby. We had a baby. I would love that. This tequila is too sweet. How's it so sweet? What was I? Oh, this is what I wanted to tell you. There's a podcast. These two guys from Ireland. They're not. Their podcast isn't huge at all. But it accidentally, as I'm listening to my history podcast, their podcast came up, and it was a clip of them talking about David Goggins, and they were talking about how like he doesn't quit, and then the one guy goes, "I quit if I don't like the song." And it made me laugh so hard, and I ended up listening to a bunch of their podcasts while in bed.
Really?
It's a really funny podcast, and they only have 8,000 followers, so check them out. It is, I will tell you this, it reminds me a little, it's like a hot, it's a little bit like Two Bears, One Cave. It's called the Bomb Squad Pod. They're out of Ireland, and they made me giggle. I follow both of them, but the idea, they're making fun of themselves, but talking about David Goggins, and I was like, God damn it, they're fucking good. So cool. Check them out, everyone.
All right.
All right.
So wait, I got to say, are you flexing?
No, my back just froze up.
Oh.
This tequila is really sweet.
You think the tequila is doing this?
No, it's like sweet. I can taste it. I think because I'm like keto as fuck right now.
So, you know what? I have to say, you said if I tell my ocean swimming story, you have to tell yours, which is a thing you don't really do. But I don't think you told your ocean swimming story. Did you?
Of course I did. There's no way you're telling a story and I'm not telling my version.
What was your version?
I don't know. I'm sure it was identical to yours, but just a little different with Bert in it.
Did he?
Yeah, I'm sure I did.
I don't recall that.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I was just wondering had an ocean.
No.
Oh, you did. No, you did.
Yeah, I just you told one about. I used to swim in clear water.
That's right.
Okay, and you just swam too far out. What happens is when someone tells a story, when I hear it, I try to connect with them. And when I connect with them, I go, "Oh shit, I've been there."
Yeah.
And then I want to share.
You go, "You know what happened to me?"
Yeah. Yeah, but it's better than my fucking wife. Where like you tell Leanne a story and she'll go, "Uh-huh." And then you're like, "So do you have anything that's adjacent to that where we can continue talking?" She's like, "No. It's a good story." "Did you ever swim in your lake?" "Uh-huh." I said, "Where do you swim in the lake?" "Well, I swim the Alabama Channel." "What the fuck?" And then you got to draw it out of her.
Oh.
It's like, listen, there's two types of
people. Why doesn't she volunteer, you think?
She wants to celebrate you and your story. It's what a real person should do, but it's also like exhausting as fuck sometimes at a dinner party where you're like, "Hey, I feel like I'm doing all the fucking talking." And she's like, "Let them talk." I'm like, "They're boring as fuck."
Yeah.
Like, God damn it. They're fucking Scientologists. Let it go. They're trying to fucking recruit us.
Yeah, did they?
No, but they made some really good points.
Would you take it for a spin?
Yep.
Scientology?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think I would too now. I used to mock it so much, and now I'd be like, yeah, I'd take it for a ride.
Dude, I believe in
aliens. I mean, I don't believe in the fucking, you know, I'm not a big JC fan, so it's like, let's see what these guys got.
I believe that if you play Scientology right, you get to meet JC too.
Yeah?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Hey, Scientology, I'm here for you.
All right. Finally.
What?
Jazz Fest.
Oh, my
God. I'll say this. You know that I almost went.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, because I hit you up and said, "Do you want to go?" And you said,
I meant almost that I had multiple invites. Like, you invited me. Agents called me and they're like, you'll have all the access and blah, blah, blah.
Should have gone.
I was like, it's like the day before another trip. I don't, you know.
It was
awesome though, huh?
So
Northern California, right?
Napa.
Yeah.
At Silverado, which is absolutely gorgeous. It was absolutely gorgeous. And I got to give a shout out to Alex, who set it all up for us. It's his event, him and, I'm blanking on a bunch of names. All the people that own the Blue Note in Hawaii. You know, you ever do the Blue Note in Hawaii? You probably did when you were a long time ago.
Yeah.
I did a long time ago. I did two shows there. And
yeah, it's a club, right?
Yeah. It's a club, and it's an awesome jazz club. But they do stand-up there. And
yeah,
so the Blue Note's got like a storied history with jazz. They've got one on West 3rd.
Yes,
they got one on West 3rd. And they've got them all over the place. And so when I was a kid, we had Jazz Fest in New Orleans, and you'd always see the cool dads from like your friends group. The cool dads would be at Jazz Fest with a cigar and a hat and a cocktail and like a guayabera, and you're like, "Are you here to see Dave Matthews?" And they're like, "No, I came to see ... Thelonious Monk or someone." And you didn't know anything about those names when you were a kid, but you were like, I remember going like, wow, these cool dads seem to know. And so so we get the invite. We were supposed to go see Widespread Panic in Huntsville, which it was like, it was locked. I went to Montreal. We were going to fly to Widespread, watch Widespread, fly home, do Something's Burning. Easy peasy. And then we get this fucking call about Jazz Fest, and Leanne goes, Mary J. Blige is playing. And I'm like, what the fuck? She's like, do you know Nas? And I'm like, Nas? She's like, Nas and Talib Kweli. And I was like, Talib Kweli is there? And I was like, hold on, who else is there? Yeah. And she starts listing off the names.
Rakim.
De La Soul, the Diggable Planets.
Jeez. I mean, yeah, it's a wild.
It's a fucking DJ Jazzy Jeff and Rakim. It was such a fucking insane lineup. And then she says, Dave Chappelle's hosting.
Yeah.
And so now here's the deal. Here's what I happen to know is that if Dave Chappelle's there, it's where you want to be.
Yeah.
Wherever Dave Chappelle goes, that's where you want to be.
The party follows. Yeah.
Because he has a Rolodex of motherfuckers that no one gets their number, and every single one of those motherfuckers says yes to Dave on everything. So I go, I don't hit up Dave. I just go, I'll take a yes to the thing. I'm not going to tell Dave I'm going, because I don't want to be one of the fucking 100 people that want to get into his fucking space.
I've done a few shows with him. Like, they're like, oh, you want to go to the after party? And, you know, I'm not a big, and then someone's like, you should go to the after party, right? Because you have to be, you have to get like a special band. And so because it's the show, when we get to the venue, security guys just saw me at the show. So they're like, oh, good to see you, man. You're going to have a good time. You go in there and there's like, you know, music. And then you're like, oh, there's a DJ. Who's DJing? And it's Q-Tip from Trap. You're like, he's DJing the party? And then you look over here and there's Drake and Chris Rock. And you're like, what? And they're like, oh, this is a Dave party. And there's like, at this one, 150 people. 200, like, it's manageable.
We go backstage. Like, we get there and our room's not ready. By the way, they got us a room. It's like, this was like, I texted Robert Langsford, who's a part of the festival as well. I texted him. I did not text Dave because I just don't want to bother him. I texted Alex. They got us a room. So like, the whole big festival's here, and then the condos for the place are here. They got us a room and a condo. So in like a little condominium, so we could walk backstage within 2.5 minutes, front stage within 2.5. We were like in the perfect fucking spot. They took care of everything, and we get there, our room's not ready. They're like, come on backstage. All of a sudden, it's everyone. It's fucking everyone you've ever wanted to meet in hip hop, all just hanging out. I'm just looking around. I'm like, holy fucking shit. And this is like, I mean, this is a weird humble brag, but it's pertinent to the story, is that almost everyone's black, but they all know who I am. Like, they're like, Bert, I'm a big fan. And I'm like, I'm blown away. Because, you know, that's not my demographic. That's not what I see in my shows.
Yeah.
And every single one of them, this is the one that blew me away, the hardcore. Because, like, you're of my age.
Yeah.
De La Soul was, I watched them.
Yeah.
I watched them perform. It was fucking insane. De La Soul was fucking insane. Diggable Planets was fucking insane too. It was, but so I'm like, De La Soul's like, that's fucking crazy. And then I walk out of my thing and I see DJ Maceo walking through the thing, and he's smoking a blunt. What I was going to say to him casually to see, like, I didn't want to be like, yo, I'm a huge fan. I didn't want to blow up his spot. But was and there were two cops right there, and he's smoking a blunt, and he's like,
it's the best.
And he's got a De La Soul shirt on. Yeah. And he goes, and he's smoking a blunt. And I wanted to say casually, like, hey man, how cool is it that we, I want to do something that connects, and
yeah,
but it's just going to be awkward. But I was going to say, how cool is it that we live in a world where you can smoke a blunt in front of cops and they don't give a shit, you know? How much have things changed? Because I know he's roughly my age, but I don't say anything. I'm like, just fucking let him be. And then he like stops and he goes, yo, bro, I'm a huge fucking fan. And I'm like this. And he's like, dude, keep doing what you're doing. You fucking keep pushing those limits. Keep doing everything, man. You make us laugh our asses off. We fucking love you. And I was like, I'm just like. And then I was like, I'm a fan also. That's all I said.
Yeah.
And he just walked away. And I went into the fucking room with Leanne. I was like, shut the fuck up. If you had told me in high school that anyone in hip hop knew who I was, I would be like, shut the fuck up. It was crazy. I saw DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Do you know where, you probably don't even, do you know where we saw Maceo?
Where?
We were together.
Where?
You don't remember this?
No. Is that how he knows me?
No. No.
Where the fuck were we?
The national championship game, FSU Auburn.
Wait, where do we see him there?
At the game.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Do we say hi?
I believe so, yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah, but you know why he was there.
Oh.
His son was a running back for Auburn.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I do. Yeah.
And then you know that I used to have I have his phone number. Like, I used to talk to him somewhat.
That's how he knows me from Two Bears, One Cave.
No. I met him when I was a feature act. And then
this festival was set up for you.
I really do wish.
Can I tell you one of the coolest times I've ever been associated to?
Yeah.
We're on the side. So we have total access. You can go on stage. God, you can stand on stage, which if you're familiar with shows at that level, you don't want to be on stage. It's like the worst audio you're ever going to hear.
Yeah.
So Leanne and I are scooting around front the entire time.
You see Mary J. Blige perform?
No, yeah. She was the night before we weren't there. And so, one of the first shows we see together, me and Leanne, because Leanne was getting shit done. I was just scooting around the whole festival by myself, seeing some amazing fucking acts. And then Leanne would hear them and go, I wanted to be there for that. And I was like, well, he's too busy fucking doing the work.
Yeah.
Go check us in, baby. And so, but we go side stage. The first one we go to together, we side stage. She goes, who's this? And I said,
Nas.
I said, it's Talib Kweli. She goes, who's that? I said, just listen to him. Just listen to him. I go, he's like, I got introduced to him on Kanye because I didn't know anything about Black Star, but I did know Mos Def. But I got introduced to him on Kanye's album when he did one of his, I forget the name of the fucking track. And I fell in love with him. And then I fucking did a deep dive. I didn't even know who Mos Def was at that point. I got introduced to Mos Def when he was, I want to kick myself in the ass, by the way, when I tell you, you're going to go like, shut the fuck up. I got introduced Mos Def through the Chappelle show when he did that freestyle in the truck.
Yeah.
And it was like the baddest, too deep.
I mean, that's why Chappelle did that, was to introduce him to people.
Dude, it was, and so we watched Talib Kweli. It's fucking amazing.
He's amazing.
And it's all freestyle. Everything's like, it's because it's Jazz Fest. Everything's just off the top. Everything's bringing people in. New people come in and fucking rhyme. And it was awesome. So I get off stage and I'm like, I gotta meet Talib Kweli. It's like, and I'm like practicing. I'm like, hey, I'm thinking about
it.
Are
you like, sup, dog? What it do, baby? Like, are you?
I'm like, yo. So,
he's cool. Talib's super cool.
But you know what my in is, right?
What?
Me? I think you know my friend Tom Segura.
Oh, is that what you said?
I was going to.
Oh.
I was like, hey, man, I want to just introduce myself. And he's like, fucking knows me immediately. He's like, Bert, what's up? Dashed me up. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, dude, I'm a fan. I know Tom. I go, yeah, I know you know Tom. And I was like, and he's like, he's my guy. Fucking, he's like, when are we going to podcast? I was like, whenever the fuck you want. And then Leanne's like, then he walks away and he was like, I'll see you later. And I was like, I'll see you later. And Leanne's like, the guy you like knows who you are? And
Talib
like,
knows you?
It was Talib? Taliban knows you? And so, but it was so fucking cool. So this is the best part of it. I'm going to tell you two best parts.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you three best parts. So, Nas destroyed. Nas destroyed. He looks awesome.
By the way, you know that it's because of how the music business has changed so much. There's not the same level of like press and like, there's not the same like heat cooked up for new music that comes out anymore. Mm. Like the only time you actually like peripherally hear about new music is usually when it's like a pop star now, you know, Taylor Swift is releasing something, you know, like you don't have to be a fan, but you'll hear that.
Yeah, it permeates.
It's like, and that has to be like, because someone's going to do like just.
Ah, fuck! The chair. It was the chair.
You scared.
Scared the shit out of me. I was in the chair. That's better. Go ahead.
Okay. Fuck.
Guys, I thought I fucking was dying.
Yeah. That scared the shit out of me.
Go ahead. You were saying okay. Taylor Swift?
Yeah. Well, first it was.
Does that count as an interruption?
No. It was that I thought something bad was happening. And then in the second, like, microsecond thought was like, that you broke the chair, you know? Like,
yeah. I thought I did too. I think I might have. Keep going.
Okay.
I definitely did. Keep going.
Okay. So, you don't hear about this. You don't hear about like new, you know what I mean? Like, you have to be like really looking for it or connected to it. Do you know that in the last like 3 or 4 years, Nas just puts out new albums that don't get like all the same chatter? That it, also because like the music landscape has changed. It's not like in the 90s when an album would come out, there was just no way that it wouldn't be conversations about it.
Yeah.
And I just hear about like someone be like, oh, you check out the new Nas album? I'm like, what? And then you get it and it's like, it's these are like masterful albums. And then you go, oh, like you would imagine someone's just done for a while, but he is in this pocket of creativity for the last, I'm telling you, like I would say in the last 3 or 4 years, I think he's probably put out like 4 albums that are like incredible out. And he just came out with one.
Yeah.
Someone, Jeff Tate texted me. He's like, yeah, go to like the most recent discography though. Like it's, can you scroll in? Dude, he put out 2 in 2021.
King's Disease, Magic.
This is not a full discography.
Wow.
This is not a full discography. I
have not seen her.
I think there's 2 more. Go there. Yeah. Where's the list? All the way down. Yeah, see?
Released July 21st.
Yeah,
he just released one like a couple weeks ago.
Yes. And then go back up again here. Magic is December of 21. And then November 11 of
22.
There's another one.
August 21.
August 20. These are albums, dude. And like I'm just blown away that he's just like putting them out. I feel like I don't see anybody making, hey, let's draw attention to this.
Well, it's Chappelle puts his festival together with Alex and the guys at the Blue Note.
Yeah.
And you can see his thumbprint, his fingerprints all over it. Cause he is, so he does his set at 5 p.m. with Robert Glassford. I think I'm saying the name right.
Who does the set?
Chappelle. Chappelle comes out, fucks around, does a little, not stand up, but fucks around the way Chappelle does. Brings out, is it Robert Langsford or Glassford? Type in Blue Note Festival. And Robert is like, by the way, the second I got there, Robert came up, greeted me. He's in a fucking Lakers jersey. And he's like the kindest guy in the world. He's like, you know, backstage, whatever you want, whatever you need, you come to us. Robert Langsford. And so he's like, whatever you need, we got you. Robert Langsford, yeah. Right? It doesn't need to. He's a jazz legend.
Yeah.
Jazz legend. So immediately, like, I'm watching Robert Langsford. Watch him with Leanne. And it's fucking magical. I mean, and Chappelle's on there, so Chappelle's fucking around. Robert's bringing out different artists. It's really like fucking, it's like everything you'd want, right? But I see Nas. My only thing I'll say about Nas, he looks phenomenal. He looks like I say this for real, that's how good he looks. He looks like he's got work done. Really? Like he looks, him and Dave Matthews are the only 2 people I've ever seen where I went, I got to fucking clean my act up because I don't want to look old. Nas looks young. He looks young. He's got braids in. He looks great, right?
How old
right?
is he?
He's got to be fucking 52. He's
got to be, right?
He's got to be. So we go to bed that night. The next morning, we wake up and I hear the just 49. Fucking, I hear like fucking music. I hear everything. The festival's already alive. We go. By the way, my buddy Omar Dorsey's there. Alonzo Bowden's there. Like people like that are cooler there.
Big time blacks.
Big time blacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Omar's like pretty dark. And so shout out to Omar.
Yeah.
So I go over with Leanne. She goes, what do you want to do? I said, let's just go explore. And I want, because my real thing is, I have so many friends that listen to the same music they've listened to their whole life. They haven't grown into listening to new bands. Well, I told you I've been getting into this band Goose because I wanted to find new artists that I love. So I go, I want to see something I've never seen, and I want to open myself up to see if I like it. So we go over, and there is what I can only describe as like the ultimate jazz experience I've ever seen in my life. The guy's name's Corey Henry, and I do not know who he is. I'm sober. I'm hungover. I've had a cup of coffee. I'm sober. It's hot as fuck. And he's on there with like 8 people on stage. And he puts on the best fucking show I've ever seen in my life. So overwhelming. I started crying. Like he does. I'm going to get emotional. He did this thing at the end. It's Sunday. And he goes, who needs the Lord in them today? It's Sunday, right? Yeah. And he goes from person to person and starts like almost like Prince, like getting their thing, like come on. And then and he gets them playing, then bass, then he goes to the drums and he starts like doing his body to them, and the drum guy matches his body. Then he goes to the fucking organ and the gum, and then he brings it in and he creates a song, and it's, I mean, it's like we were crying. It is one of the, I mean, like, sincerely, let me kill this so I get rid of these fucking tears. It was one of the most moving experiences I've ever had. I'm going to go see him when he's in LA.
Yeah.
He's doing a piano solo. His name is Corey Henry. I'm being sincere. If you ever get to see this guy, you do not need to know any of his catalog. He puts on, he's Stevie Wonder's favorite act.
Really? That says something.
He's Stevie Wonder's favorite act. And I went up to him.
Where are you going to see him do the solo?
In Los Angeles. I think he's at a jazz club in Los Angeles. He's doing two nights.
Soon?
Yeah, in August. I think in August.
What night?
I don't know. Type in Corey Henry was, I'm telling you, it was fucking magical.
Ooh.
He was at the Paramount here in Austin. Ooh. That's, I would go see him at the Paramount. He's doing his solo piano stuff, but this guy is...
Oh, the piano tour. Looks like, I see right there, at the live streams and tour dates, the drop down. Yeah, right there. No. The first one. Just click the first.
Yeah. He is, when's he in Los Angeles? I think end of August. So keep scrolling, I'll tell you. Keep scrolling. Chicago, St. Louis, Nashville, Boston, Philadelphia, Washington, Denver.
There you go.
Los Angeles, August 24th and 25th. Me and Leanne are going to that. And we're bringing my cousin Owen.
I can go on Thursday.
You want to go on Thursday?
I can go.
Done. I got it.
Okay.
He is fucking insane. I mean, so talented, but so improvisational. So then I'm in it, right? I go, yo, let's... At his last show when he did the church thing, I lit a joint, grabbed a tall boy, and I was like, I'm crying. And so I don't know why I get emotional these days. So then we go over to
make sure you drink so you don't get so.
Don't worry, get rid of these fucking tears.
Yeah.
So then we go to this band called Domi and Beck. Please, thank you. D O M I, and Beck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tom, so now I feel like I'm like, I feel cool. I feel like a cool dad because I just saw some jazz and I got it.
And you're going to see this.
These two motherfuckers, they're fucking 17. They're out of Dallas, Texas. Bro.
They're kids?
They're children. They're really good friends with Chappelle. Like legit, because Chappelle, and I'm speaking for Dave, but like, you know Candyman?
Yeah.
He came and grabbed me and he's like, you want to meet the kids? I go, yeah. He's like, they're good kids. They're backstage. Because I was blown away. Can you see if you can find a video of them playing? Because you got to see the way they play. The drummer is a savant. A fucking savant. Shh, that's not...
oh, my God. On the glands penis.
Domi and Beck. It's just drums and piano. Just know you got to see them live. Drums and piano. They are every hip hop artist.
Who plays drums?
Beck.
No, who's that though?
He's the guy. Boy.
Okay.
She plays a piano and they said to me, quote unquote, this is backstage, and all the artists are backstage are like, yo, this is the fucking band. Every hip hop artist grabs their beats.
Really?
They're fucking.
Oh, I love NPR that does this thing, man.
Oh, this they
the
are
tiny You're desk thing. So cool.
You got to just watch him play because it's like it's legit jazz. Oh, you can play it like that?
Yeah. Oh wow!
Look at this kid. She's playing bass and piano. Bass with left hand, piano with the right hand. She's from France.
How old are they?
17. Or no, 19, I think.
Fuck.
Dude, they fucking... This kid is the sweetest kid, right? So, listen how quick his drums are.
No, I'm just watching them both go...
So this is right after Corey Henry.
And do they sing too?
She does every now and then. She'll sing. But mostly it's like the two of them together are just savants.
I dig this.
Their mentors introduce them to each other.
I dig it. All right, we should probably kill it, right, Nadav?
So
Here, I'm putting it in my phone because I dig this.
Oh, I bought their album and I got on the fucking plane and I had a cocktail and I just disappeared in my own thoughts, which is what I think jazz is supposed to make you do. So I go up to, I take videos of all these people, right? And I post it on Instagram, you know, to try to like share them. And fucking Dami and Beck hit me up and they're like, yo, we're huge fans of yours. And
really?
I was like, in my head, they're fucking 19. I'm 50. Yeah. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. And they're like, we listen to you in the bus, in the van. Our tour manager fucking loves you guys. And so I was like, shut the fuck up.
Really?
So I go backstage, I meet them. They're like cool as shit. So now I've had the full jazz experience, right? We watch Robert Langsford at the end. He kills. And now Leanne and I'm like, I'm done. This is where you're going to kick me in the fucking dick. Chance the Rapper's on. I'm not the hugest Chance the Rapper fan. And I've had a very big experience. And I go, you know what? They're telling me, you know, we'll bring a stage, step backstage to say, hang out with Dave. And I'm like, I don't want to ruin it. I've had such a great time. I want to see Dave, but I also don't want to be the ninth person that has to be like, what's up, Dave? And he has to give a minute to. I want him to have, it's his fucking festival.
Yeah.
So I said, babe, why don't we just go back to our room? We'll sit on the golf course. I'll light a cigar, glass of wine. Fucking done. So we're listening to Chance the Rapper. It's pretty cool. And all of a sudden, Dave's like, all right. And we can hear him on the fucking thing. All right. This isn't fucking over. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, Nassim, Mos Def.
Oh.
I'm like, fucking shut the fuck up.
Yassine Bey.
My friend, Yassine Bey.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm on the golf course with Leanne going, Mos Def's on stage? Mos fucking Def's on stage? And like she's trying to kiss me. I go, get the fuck off me, bitch. Mos Def's on stage. Yeah. I got my cigar. I go, what the fuck? You fucked this all up, Leanne. We're barefoot on the fucking driving fair. God damn it, Mos Def's on stage. I gotta go. I fucking throw my cigar down. She looks at me and she goes, hey, you can hear him from here. We had a great night. Let's listen to him on the golf course. So I was like, apparently you've never heard Black Star.
Yeah.
I was like, you never heard fucking Mos Def. And I was like, fuck. So I just sat on the golf course with Leanne smoking a cigar. She was in a robe naked. And I was just, the whole time I was thinking about Mos Def.
I'm just like, go fucking take a walk.
I was like, fuck. And then I was like, you know, everyone else is around. And then I'm like, I bet this happened. Then the after parties are fucking crazy. Oh,
did you go?
Yeah, we went. They're just crazy. Yeah. Like they're fucking crazy. I don't want to bother anyone. Ran into DJ Jazzy Jeff.
That's cool.
DJ Jazzy Jeff and Rakim. Rakim. Let me tell you something. Do you know him?
No, never met him.
I said this to DJ Jazzy Jeff, and I know that this is an aggressive statement. He puts a big dick back in rap. When Rakim raps, he don't fuck around. There's no like friendly shit, you know, like it's not even talking about. It's not like
you should have been like, you know what I love about you, man? You do very friendly rap and see how he
comes out, dude. He gets this is how Rakim like, this is how Rakim rolls. Ready? Yeah. DJ Jazzy Def puts on he's you forget how masterful a DJ he is.
Yeah, yeah.
I went up to him, I said, yo, Philly, I'm in Philly November 28th. And he goes, what? I said, I want you to open for me. He was like, huh? I said, I'm doing the arena in Philly November 28th. I think no 29th, around Thanksgiving. He goes, I'm local. I said, I'm sending an offer. He goes, you don't know what my quote is. I go, it doesn't matter. I'm sending you a fucking offer. And I was like, well, it does matter. Definitely does. I texted my team. I was like, the quote matters. I can't afford a lot.
Yeah.
But I was like, dude, what a fucking show at Philly. You got DJ Jazzy Jeff.
It's crazy.
Because you know what he did to open it? He goes, this is the 50th year of rap, of the culture. Let's reminisce for a second.
Yeah.
And he goes through and plays 50 years of rap in 5 minutes and the fucking place is going next. And then he goes, ladies and gentlemen, and you see a car door open behind stage. Rakim comes out of a car door with a mic in his hand. Rakim! And he just comes up and he goes, I ain't no joke. And you're like, oh, the big dick showed up. It was so fucking sick. Rakim did not fuck around. I love my wife, but I wish you had been there.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't get it. She's who is he? And I was like, oh,
this fuck. Is Rakim?
Dude, when he did, Check the Technique.
Oh, yeah.
Or Don't Sweat the Technique.
Don't Sweat the Technique.
Fucking, dude, it was, you missed, You missed a Tom Segura show.
Now, that would have been so fucking fun. I knew it was going to be out because I knew what the lineup was. And my, you know, Andrew texted me and he was like, I think you would love this.
Dude.
And I was like, yeah, I would love that.
Fucking DJ Jazzy Jeff, Philadelphia at the arena, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Opening the fucking show. And let me tell you something. I will not be backstage. I will be in front. Hopefully Will Smith will show up.
That could be cool.
It'd be badass.
The best thing I ever did was reach out to Primo to have him open those shows for me. And it's like, it's my favorite memories.
DJ Premier.
Yeah.
So who's, you have DJ Trauma.
Yeah.
DJ Premier.
Mm-hmm.
These are like the legit legendary DJs. DJ Jazzy Jeff. I met a young man who's Dave's DJ who is a white dude. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, because Trauma does a ton of those dates.
When Trauma can't do him, I met him.
Okay.
And I went up and introduced myself to him because he was watching Rakim.
Yeah.
And he knew the coolest thing Rakim would do is he'd do his rhyme and then go, and you hear fucking 5,000 people just go with him. Just,
yeah.
Whoo. Dude, it was like an emotional weekend for me.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm definitely going to bring.
I'm going next year. I'm going next year.
I'm going to bring DJs to a lot of my.
You want to go next year? Let's commit right now.
Yeah, I'll go.
Blue Note Jazz Festival.
In July, right?
Yeah. How about this? Shout out to, and Dave, I don't know if Dave will hear this, but Alex will hear this.
Okay.
Next year.
We'll go.
Not like Dave hosts will host an hour every day. Let's host one of who we want to be with on stage. Like, let's say, like, you know, we would like, because here's the deal.
Curate our own show?
Yeah, I mean this, but like, here's the thing about these events, and I learned it with Fully Loaded.
Yeah.
And I mean this respectfully. I can load it up with everyone, but not everyone is going to promote because they've got their own fucking shit going on.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Fully Loaded, I promote. I promote it. I'm the promoter. I get it. I don't mind. I'll pay everyone what they want. But I understand that it lands on my back to promote that thing. If I don't promote it, no one's going to. It's what happened with Oddball that last year.
Yeah.
If they didn't have a Dave or an Amy or a, you know,
yeah.
It's hard. You need that name that people go, oh,
I
want to
go see.
Yeah. That's going to be fun. Now, here's the thing we'd be offering is like, we are fans of hip hop. We are fans of music. And we do have a bunch of fans that would be like, oh, I wouldn't mind to see what. So it might help add tickets. And we don't need money from this. We want to just go to do the experience. And so we'll take like one, like, 3 o'clock hour, just one, like on Saturday, and we'll promote it to help get people there. We'll bring like our fans, and we'll pick our artists, and then they get the money from the Blue Note. We don't need the money. We'll just go to have fun, and it'll be fun as fucking shit. And I'm telling you, the coolest thing is seeing artists you've never seen. It blew me. I'm all about discovering new shit. I don't want to get old. I don't want to fucking be this old guy that only listens to like fucking Leonard Skinner.
Okay. Well, I think you're doing a good job.
I'm in a fucking place right now. Can you feel it?
There's some stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I go sober tomorrow.
You go sober tomorrow? For a stretch?
Like 5 days.
Why'd you pick that?
Well, not 5 days. It's actually, I'll tell you exactly how long it's going to be. I'm going sober for 23 days.
Oh, that's not 5 days.
No, 23 days is the next something's burning. I got to drink on something's burning. If someone wants to have a drink with me.
Why are you picking, like, why? What happens tomorrow that you're going for 23? Why?
I mean this heartfelt when we started this, the sleuths who were like, he's talking about Bert. And I read the comments and they weren't hurtful. They were like people concerned. And I was like, if that's how people are seeing me, that's not how I want to be seen. I want to be seen like Nas. Like Nas looked great. Like, I want to be seen like Dave Matthews. He looked great when I saw him. And I was like, and I have gained weight, and I know my face looks bigger.
I got a lot of messages of concern about you.
Yeah.
Over your festival.
Yeah, yeah. I was like.
People, and it wasn't just jokes. Like, it was people being like, hey.
I mean, those don't bother me. I understand that. It's tough to live my life. It really is tough to live my life. It doesn't stop, and I don't get times off. But I have the next 23 days off where...
That's good.
Where I don't have to drink. I mean, like, when we do something's burning, if someone wants to have a cocktail, I'll have a cocktail. And so maybe in those episodes, they don't drink, so I won't drink. But I'm going to start tomorrow.
It is because you're like, oh, people are concerned.
It's not my drinking, it's my weight. It's like no one's seeing me. I'm not. No one's seeing me blackout drunk. Yeah. That's not happening. But they are seeing me fat as fucking shit. Like fat, like my face is fat, my stomach's fat. I'm in pretty physically good. I just did 50 push-ups.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, like, I'm not unhealthy, but like, I'm fat as fucking shit. I'm the fattest I've ever fucking been. I'm the fattest I've ever been.
You realize then that the that eating is definitely is tied to the drinking, right? Because when anybody drinks,
here's actually, I can eat good. I've eaten perfect for 3 days now. It's pretty strict. I just eat salmon and I've drank and it doesn't bother me. I don't need to eat when I drink, but
if you're in like a drink, like we're drinking usually, being thoughtful about food goes away.
No, not for me. Really? Oddly enough. Yeah. But on tour, probably. Yes. Yeah. But not, you know, once I got acid reflux, that stopped. What's happening is it's just a bunch of empty calories at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And it's a couple beers, it's a couple fucking tequilas, it's a fucking joint. It's, you know, and I cannot eat. I just go to bed hungry. I cannot eat, but I definitely, it's my fucking cardiologist calling.
You want to get it?
No.
Please.
I'm going to fucking answer it on the fucking
thing. Come on. Let's just see what they say.
No. I have an appointment in a couple weeks.
Please.
No, I have an appointment with him. But yeah, so like, I'm not like, I can eat good. I turned down donuts earlier.
You did?
I had salmon for lunch today and yesterday. I had salmon for dinner last night. I'm good at turning down food. It's just all these empty calories don't allow you to get a dent in the weight loss. And so you're always at a deficit every morning when you wake up, and you're also a little hungover. And then I'll just push it. And then I do, but I'm still not like putting a dent in losing weight.
What do you want to get? Do you have a goal you want to get down to, or no? Just
I don't. I would. This sounds so crazy. I wouldn't mind being 230. Like 230 sounds skinny right now. 220, I would, 220 is like, I couldn't imagine being 220. I don't know what I'd look like at 220.
Well, I do. 220 is what you kind of were like around.
Yeah, but my body's so different.
It is different, yeah.
Than now, like my body's so fucking, I was, the last time I was 220 was at Sober October,
mm-hmm.
And I couldn't do 20 pushups. I couldn't do 10 pushups. And I couldn't bench 220. I got pinned. So like my body is very different than it was then. I'm in a lot better physical condition, but I'm just fat as fuck. I'm fat as fuck. This sounds, I know you're gonna make fun of this, but like I feel like a lineman. Like where I go, I'm just really overweight and I have a lot of weight on me.
And you're big.
And I'm big, and I fucking just look fucking fat. And I went to a size 5 in my shirts. So like, and now they balloon out. So they look big. And it's like, I stopped denying double XLs. I used to be like on the fence, like I'm an XL. And then I was like, just give me the double XL. It's more comfortable.
Yeah.
And so like, I just, I'm done with it. And I'm not done with drinking.
Do you think that structure would help you? You're not done with drinking?
Oh yeah, I would. No, I'm not done with drinking. I'm gonna drink the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But I gotta get control of my health. Meaning like, I'm certain I have a fatty liver. Mm-hmm. I'm certain I have high blood pressure. I'm on all the pills.
But you're so getting physical. You say you're gonna get physicals, right?
Oh yeah, I get physicals every 6 months.
I know. I'm just making sure you stay on top of it.
Yeah,
blood work.
I'm on it. I deal with Brigham, so he does blood work.
Does structure help you?
Yeah. Being home, like I'm jealous of you guys. Like I'm watching Nadav get ready for the marathon. I don't mean this like I love my life. I would never trade my life for anything. I work at the pace I like to work at. I do it for a reason. I like working. I like making things and building things, and I love all of that. But I'm very jealous of Nadav getting to train for this marathon at home, and like going like it's so easy to manage a life when you live somewhere.
Yeah.
When you live on a tour bus.
It's different. I totally get it, man.
I don't have a gym everywhere I go. I don't have my trainer. Like when I'm at home, my trainer meets me at my gym at 8 in the morning. I'm up. I work out. I go over to the studio. I do a podcast. It's so fucking, it's amazing that like people comment about me from the outside, not, and I mean this casually, but not walking in my shoes and imagining how my life must be. Like anytime that anyone's with me for any minute of any period of time, they're like, how the fuck do you do it? Red Band told me last night, you know, you need to take some time off. And I was like, okay. I was like, sure, man. And he was like, no, you do. And I was like, I mean this as a friend, but like, you have no idea what my life's like. Like, no idea. I don't mean that like I'm overwhelmed. I'm just saying like, I got a lot going on. And so like,
I'm just
trying to keep my head above water.
There is a degree though of truth that you should acknowledge in that statement though. Right?
No, I can't take that from Red Band.
No.
I love Red Band.
Let's take him out of the picture. The degree of truth that I'm talking about, that like one, we all have to have some acceptance over this at some point, is that ultimately, especially if there's tons, that you're committed to tons, you do have to remind yourself, and I'm not saying you, Bert, specifically, we all do this, that you are the one who sets the pace and the commitments. It's about the fact that, like, and I think you do struggle with this. I have struggled with this as well. It's about like having some no's, like no to this, no to that.
I think
because you prioritize things that way. When you say yes to everything, you're actually saying no to some of the things you give a shit about, because you're eliminating the possibility to do some of the things you care about well, because you're saying yes to too many things. If you say yes to everything, and we've all done this, mm-hmm. you're saying no to some things that you care about, and you're saying halfway yes to some of the things you care about because you're too spread out and you're too exhausted to do everything well.
No, I haven't run into that yet. I'm achieving at a pretty high level.
You're achieving at a high level, but that doesn't mean that it can't be a better level of some of the things that you care about most.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But at the same time, I hope people can hear what I'm saying, and not just hear what you're saying and go, because you're right. You're right. You're definitely right. I'm not saying it to be right.
I mean, I'm saying it just because I need the reminder too. When I say this thing, it's not about
I would love your pace of life. Well, no, but like, hang on. Okay, so perfect example.
I signed up for the fucking craziest tour.
Yeah, but my tour's as crazy, and I fly to Austin once a month to do a podcast, and. And you're right. I overpack my schedules.
Yeah.
Like, we all have a crazy tour. You have your, I wish I didn't have a fear of flying. That was number one. Yeah. I wish I didn't have a fear of flying. I'm jealous of you. I'm jealous that you fly home sober and you like look at a paper and you have a coffee on the plane and then you get home and you play with the kids and then you like work out. Like, I would love that. But instead I get all worked up when I have to fly. I wish I could get rid of that. For me, I have to have the structure when I'm home. Like, when I'm home and I don't get home often.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like...
But do you ever...
But hang on. The last thing I'll say, and this is... I mean this respectfully. But, like, you have the... I hope people hear this right. You have the luxury of being wanted young. Like, you have the luxury of people wanting you when you were younger in the business, before you guys had kids. You were blowing up. You guys got money before me and Leanne got money. And we watched you guys like, I remember going to your houses and being like, holy shit. Like, when the fuck did this happen? And then you go to the next house. I'm like, you're what the fuck? And you guys were very taking it in pace and all that. But I think I got it later. Mm-hmm. So when I got it later, I'd already had two kids. They were already in like middle school. And then all of a sudden I got all these opportunities that you got presented from, like, say, what, 35 mm-hmm. to the rest of your life. I got presented at, say, 47, 48 till the rest of my life. So I looked at it like, okay, here's what I've always wanted. I never got to do oddball. I never got to do it. And you knew how bad I wanted to do that. That's my dream. Someone said it to me when we were at the US Open doing the first Fully Loaded show.
Yeah.
They're like, can you believe you created this? What was the inspiration behind creating this? And I said to them, candidly, if I didn't create it, no one would ever ask me to do it. Like, if I didn't do this, no one was going to say, hey, we want Bert. Like, if I didn't force.
So you created the thing you wanted.
I created the thing I wanted. When I started doing social media to promote my shows, it was because no one gave a fuck. And so I was like, I got to make this happen for Bert.
Yeah.
I need to get behind Bert and make this happen. Whereas you have the luxury of, you still, Tommy, have like fucking 20 years of a career to go that everyone's excited to see, including myself. I am on a fucking timeline, I feel like, where I go, I feel like Tupac, where I go.
We're only like 6-7 years apart in age.
I know, but you had a jump on me by another 10 years almost. Like by like another 5 years.
So that you feel like you're working on a timeline right
now? I feel like I am. I feel like I got fully loaded. I got I like specials. Like you're still like two specials ahead of me. I'm like, here we go. Like I gotta fucking write. I gotta get on stage. I gotta do stand up. Like I feel like the starting gun went off and I didn't hear it or I wasn't paying attention. So I'm like behind. And so I pack myself. Like I mean this with love, but I watch what you're doing here and in at YMH, and it's not just the shows. The shows are fucking awesome, but what you're doing as a business is so inspiring. But you got to remember, I'm just getting inspired. You were inspired by someone fucking 5 years ago that I did not see that happen for. And so then I just started my production company. You've had YMH for fucking, I remember when you told me, I'm going to start taking this seriously. And I remember going like, what? Like the podcast? Like I didn't get it. So I'm always late to the party. And when I show up at the party, I feel like this is a great analogy. I'm always late to the party. I feel like everyone's been drinking and I got to catch up. And so I'm doing shots and I'm snorting coke and I'm smoking weed. And then maybe sometimes it looks like I'm out of control. But like I feel like taking these days off, I wake up going, I'm not doing shit with my life.
I feel like everything that you're saying makes tons of sense. And I totally understand everything that you mean very clearly. But I think even you just saying it, part of your brain has to also understand that you don't have to view it exactly that way. Like, it's almost like you can see why you're seeing it that way, but that you also get that, like, if you don't do everything in the next 2 months, you can spread some of that stuff out over 6 months and have a pace that is more enjoyable to your life and to your health. And like, I feel like some of that still has to register to you, you know, that you know that it doesn't have to be like this all the time.
It does not have to be like this all the time. And to be honest with you, the reason I'm taking so much time off right now is because both girls are home for the summer.
Good.
And I'm spending time with them and I'm trying to enjoy it. I do have this inner voice that when I wake up, if I don't have like a semi-busy day, like a semi, like, at least like a podcast, or I feel like I'm not doing anything with my life where I go, I'm just wasting. What am I just going to sit here?
Yeah.
Like I feel like I'm wasting my time.
We're the same with a lot of things.
We're very similar. Yeah. I think I'm starting to realize how similar we are the more we know each other. Cause I always thought you were the, I don't give a fuck guy. Like just like, I don't give a fuck. Like, and just like things will happen. And then I see you busting your ass to get deals done. And I go like,
yeah, I definitely give, and I'm the same way. I mean, Christina's always like, "Can you?" What does she say to me? She goes, "I just get home from a tour," and she's like, "What are you doing tomorrow?" I go, "Well, tomorrow, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna go fly a helicopter. I'm gonna work out." And she's like, "Can you just be, like,
I can't
just be and just enjoy the day?"
Leanne said to me the other day, she goes, "Let's sit on the porch and read a book." I go, "Read a book?
Yeah,
about me." You want me to read my book about me? I'll do that. Am I in Tom's book? I'll read his book. I'm not going to fucking sit there and read a fucking Huck Finn novel.
Yeah.
I was like, I just don't get it. This is, by the way, this is like my, it's like, also, how can you say this, right? Like, this is I'm speaking for you viewers, and I apologize to speak for you. I don't try not to do that. Any one of these motherfuckers watching would be like, yo, if you told me I was burning the candle at both ends, but I got to hang out with Tom Segura like fucking four times in 2 days every month and do a podcast that a lot of people liked, they go, yeah, I'll push it a little harder. That was my whole mindset. When you moved to Austin, I was like, yeah, man, I love the podcast. I'll push it a little harder. I'll burn it a little harder. I don't mind it. I love the fucking conversations we have. I love the fucking creative conversations we have in that office. Yeah. I love all of that shit. Inspires me. I love doing push-ups against Annie. I love that Nadav's running a marathon. I want to fucking run it with him.
Like, are you going to?
I wish I could. I don't know. I'll check with Leanne.
I think you said you're...
I'm supposed to take time off.
No, not just that, but aren't you doing something like that day?
No, I'm doing a cruise. My cruise There's a wait list. My cruise, October 27th, 29th this year out of Miami.
I cannot believe you're doing it. It's so crazy.
I'm doing a cruise. I'm doing Red Rocks. I got an arena tour. I'm like, dude, but you know how I feel. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I love all of it. I love all of it. I love thinking of promos for the Tops Off tour. I love the creativity. I love the creativity.
Of course.
And so Leanne said, I've already texted her about it, Nadav. So Leanne has a vacation planned for us after the cruise.
Oh, okay. That's why.
And I was like, well, when's it end? She was like, well, technically, we're just there up until your birthday, November 3rd.
Yeah.
But I think we can stay until the 5th. And I went, if we stay until the 5th,
can I go to New York the 6th?
Can I go to New York on the 6th and run the... Because I know that if I have a goal like Nadav does, I'll work hard towards that goal.
I know you will.
And so she was like, well, hold on. What if we want to do something after that? And I was like, well, you want to go to New York? She's like, for what? And I go, the New York Marathon? And she's like, hold on. Why do you all of a sudden want to run the New York Marathon? And she can just see it in my head. Because I go,
yeah,
that's a good promo.
Yeah.
It's a good promo. I'm fucking run the New York Marathon. It's fun. It's fun. It's good on Instagram. It gives, I don't know. It's on November 5th.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Let me check, Nadav.
And here's the other thing that I think will definitely make you do it. There's no fucking way you could do the New York City Marathon. fucking 50-year-old fat ass. Come on, dipshit. There's no fucking way you could do that. Those days are past you. Good luck, Nadav. You'll be alone.
This is a great episode.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun as fuck.
All right.
All right, I'm flying back to L.A.
Love you. Thanks for coming.
I love you way more.
It was fun.
I love you way more.
Stop.
I love you way fucking more.
You stop. You always say this shit. thank you guys for watching. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bert and Tom. Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.